Welcome to News Talk. This is the audio recording of our live group class where Stephanie Marston and David DeJager talk about three hot stories in the news and chat with English learners from across the world. It's a really enjoyable way to practice listening to natural English and learn some new vocabulary each week. Let's go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition in News Talk. We're delighted to be here again. We've got three really interesting stories to talk about with you this afternoon. My name is Stephanie, and as always, I'm joined by David. Hi, David.
Hi, Stephanie, and good afternoon, or possibly good evening to everybody. Glad you can join us.
Absolutely. Now, I can see people saying hi in the chat already, and that's one of the ways you can join in with the lesson today. So what we're going to be doing is talking about three stories, and we really want to know what you think about them. Do you know any information? What are your thoughts? So we really encourage you to join in the chat. It's very easy to take part in the session, and it's really fun.
Good indeed. Yes. So please give us your opinions and we will certainly be giving you ours. So shall we have a look at the three topics, Stephanie?
Absolutely. Let's find out what stories are making the news this week. So as always, there are three stories, and we're starting with story number one, the question where. So I want a location here. Where will it be impossible to buy a petrol or diesel car from 2035? So we're thinking about which region, which part of the world will it be impossible from 2035 to buy a petrol or diesel car?
So that's in about precisely 12 years' time.
Not that far off, is it? It sounds a long way in the future, but actually it isn't.
And then we had some surprising news last week, and it's about a local political leader who resigned quite suddenly. Do you know who it was?
Very interesting, that one. So again, if you think you know, do type your answer in the chat. Have a go. It doesn't matter if you guess the wrong one. And our final story, something completely different. We're asking you, which city... So in which city are workers saving quite a lot of money each year by working remotely? Now, can you have a guess? We're looking for a city this time. So have a guess. Type your answers into the chat. Let's start then with story number one.
Indeed.
So story number one, we're looking for where will it be impossible to buy a petrol or diesel car? So we're talking about a ban that's going to be imposed in a certain part of the world. And the aim of this ban is really to speed up, to make quicker, to speed up the switch to electric vehicles. So that's the aim of this. And obviously by doing so, to combat climate change.
Yeah, this is all, as you say, it's all about how countries, areas, fight against climate change by eliminating CO2, these awful CO2 emissions. So it's trying to shift everybody to electric cars. Have you got an electric car, everybody? What do you think about that?
Well, I have a car, but it's not an electric one, I have to admit. It's my car's probably, how old is it now? 7 years old. It's a petrol car. And yes, it's something to think about. I mean, I don't know that I would just change it for the sake of changing it, but certainly if I were to buy a new car, it would be something interesting to consider. So very interested to know if anyone currently has an electric car and how they find it.
Well, because that is an issue, isn't it? Because while everybody seems to have this shift towards electric cars have their problems, don't they? So, you know, one of the biggest problems, I believe, is that they run on these batteries. And these batteries are very expensive, very heavy. And to manufacture the batteries, that also uses a lot of CO2. It creates problems with the atmosphere as well.
Absolutely. So just having a look in the chat, Amelia saying that she doesn't have an electric car and she doesn't think it's very useful. And she's saying the EU is crazy. Yusuf agreeing that electronic cars have problems with the hot weather. It's an interesting one.
Yeah, they have. And of course, one of the biggest problems, and especially if you live in a big country, is the limit. Because I believe for us, it's probably about 300 miles that you can do without charging. And we don't, in our country, we don't have enough charging points. I mean, you can do it at home, of course, but, you know, normal people need these charging points.
Did you know there's actually a name for this? I'm typing it in the chat. It's called range anxiety. Now, this is the phenomenon when people are so anxious about how far their car is going to get before it runs out of power. So there's actually a term for this because it's a phenomenon that's happening now, and it's called range anxiety.
I would definitely suffer from that because I have enough anxiety with making sure I have enough petrol in my car at the moment.
Absolutely. And it's interesting saying that about the charging points, because also, again, if you have a private drive, then you can, of course, have your own charging point. But for those of us like myself who live in a block of flats, it's not particularly convenient.
I think, Amelia, thank you, is making an interesting point that, you know, the EU will have to buy material for making batteries from countries like China, South Africa and South America, and this will create a dependency. Certainly, you know, there is a race on to be able to build, to manufacture these electric batteries. These are the critical point in the production process.
That's an interesting point that Arta makes, that and I didn't know this, that in America you can charge your e-car from convenience stores like Walmart, and I think that's probably something they need to start thinking about in the UK, making those points much more accessible and visible so that drivers like myself who might consider it in the future at least notice them, because at the moment whenever I see a charging point it usually has an out of order sign on it, which increases my range anxiety even further.
Even more. But actually, Ali makes a great point there, because I think who lives in Istanbul doesn't have a car and doesn't want to buy one because there's already so much traffic. Like, actually, there used to be in London, where I am now, there used to be so much traffic. But because of the congestion zone, the charges here, there's a lot less traffic these days than there was in the past.
Absolutely. And that was an effective way, wasn't it, of reducing the volume of traffic. Celia is saying, I believe that electric car will be developed and will be very expensive, again, coming down back to the cost.
Yeah, no, the petrol cars will then become very expensive, because that is a big issue at the moment, isn't it? You know, electric cars are expensive, but I suppose over the period they become cheaper because it is cheaper to charge them rather than using electricity or, petrol or diesel.
Absolutely. Shall we have a look at which region we're talking about?
Yes, and I think most people got the answer very quickly.
Well, it has been in the news a lot, hasn't it? This sort of declaration. But absolutely, those of you that said the EU, very well done. It is the EU we're talking about. Driving forward its switch to electric vehicles. So that's that pledge that from 2035, and there'll be no more petrol or diesel cars available to buy.
And that's a nice headline, isn't it? It's a play on words. So it's the EU is driving forward. So not only in terms of, you know, a car or vehicle moving, but it's pushing forward the switch, the change to electric vehicles.
Absolutely. And hopefully you noticed as we were discussing this topic, some selected words that we've chosen to highlight. Now, first of all, we've got the verb to ban, meaning to forbid. If you ban something, you forbid, you refuse to allow it to happen. And this is especially in an official context.
Yeah. And then we talked about as the headline says, it's switch. So switch is both a noun and a verb. And as the verb, it means to change completely from one thing to another.
Absolutely. And of course, the aim of this is to eliminate, that means to remove or take away something. So if you eliminate it, you're removing it from the system. So to eliminate petrol and diesel cars. Shall we move on to story number two?
Absolutely.
Okay, story number two, we're looking for, well, again, you could tell us the country we're talking about, or maybe you know the name of the person, but the question is, which political leader resigned suddenly, was unexpected? Now, who are we talking about here?
So, we can tell you the person was a female, which is still relatively unusual in politics, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. And what we would love to hear from you is, what do you think of the political leaders in your own country? Are they good? Are they competent? Are they respected? What do you think about them?
Yes, and as David mentioned, it is a female prime minister, we're talking about. So again, does anybody have a female prime minister or president in their country? Again, interesting to find out if you're in a country that does.
And this person, she gave up the position. She stood down as the leader. I think it was last Wednesday or something, yes. something like that. But she's going to stay in place. She's going to remain as leader until a successor is found, somebody to replace her.
Absolutely. Now, this particular person that we are talking about came into power following the very famous independence referendum. So it was a very famous question asked to the population. And this particular person came into power following that.
And has anybody experienced a referendum? I think that's possibly one of the very, very few times we had a referendum in the United Kingdom. But in some countries, I believe, like in Switzerland, for example, it's used very often. So that it's considered very democratic. So everybody has the opportunity to vote on a particular issue.
Absolutely. And just having a look in the chat, Karina saying, we had one female president a few years ago. She was not good for the country. Amelia saying the government in the Czech Republic is the worst in our history. Is anyone pleased with their politicians?
Maybe that's Sebastiano isn't very happy either. The political...
Yeah. I wonder if anybody's actually feels that their prime minister is doing a good job. That might be quite interesting to hear from as well.
Yeah, and do you think it's more difficult for a woman to be a leading politician than a male? Are there different pressures, do you think? I don't know, because it's interesting that, you know, not long ago, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, she stood down as well, didn't she?
Absolutely.
Because she wanted to spend more time effectively with her family. Are there
Absolutely.
Different pressures, do you think, on female politicians?
And I think I did look up, there's something like, I think there's 26 countries that have a female either prime minister or president, some sort of female head of state. So there's 26. So it's quite interesting to find out if anybody joining us today is in a country where they have one. And what, as David said, what do you think? Is it more challenging?
And of course, thank you, Louise. We could take your option and just substitute politicians with artificial intelligence. That would be interesting.
Amelia's saying about referendums. So you don't have them in the Czech Republic. Well, as David said, it's not very common here in the United Kingdom either. And this was a particularly famous referendum because it was to decide a really contentious point that a lot of people feel very passionate about, and some very strong feelings on both sides of the argument there. Karina, that's a good point. Male presidents don't do a good job either. So perhaps it's not down to gender.
Oh, right. And Larissa's saying that she knows that the president of Moldova couldn't bear the pressure, nice English there, and quit and stood down. And Idu is saying that the chancellor, oh, I remember this, the chancellor of Austria resigned because of a corruption inquiry, I think it was, wasn't it?
Erkan says, remember the Liz Truss experience?
Do we have to?
But Celia making the point that Angela Merkel was a great prime minister.
She was a very highly respected chancellor, wasn't she? The president there.
So I think we've kind of guessed which country we're talking about. So let's go back and share the answer here. So the question, which political leader resigned? Suddenly, we are talking about Nicola Sturgeon, who quit. She stood down as Scottish First Minister.
And I think it's interesting. I don't know if everybody knows this, but of course, it's quite often we have confusion between GB, Great Britain, and UK. So Great Britain is England, Scotland, and Wales. And Wales and Scotland, they don't have the Prime Minister. The Great Britain has the Prime Minister, but they have their first ministers who are the leader of their countries. And of course, the UK includes Northern Ireland as well, and Northern Ireland also has a first minister.
It's very interesting because this means that some of the power is devolved. So it's not all central in London. And for example, the Scottish and Welsh first ministers have a lot of power, a lot of control over decisions in areas such as health and education, where they have the ability to make decisions that will govern their countries.
Whereas in Scotland, of course, they wanted even more power, and that's why they wanted the referendum, so that they could become an independent country and then control all their finances, not just certain areas. At the time, I think the result was 55%
55,
against
45,
and 45% in favour, so it didn't happen.
Yeah, and again, there's that word referendum, which we'll have a look at in a minute, but it was a very important one for a lot of people. So some key words that we've chosen here. First of all, the phrasal verb to stand down. Now we said that the Scottish First Minister said she would stand down. That means to give up your official job or position. So it's used in an official context here.
Yeah, two phrasal verbs there. And then we also said that she was staying in place until a successor was found. So a successor is somebody that comes after another person. So somebody to replace her as first minister.
Absolutely. And there's that key word, a referendum. So this is a particular kind of vote in which all the people in a country or an area, it depends, but they're asked to give their opinion about or decide an important political or social question. So it will vary from country to country as to how often this takes place.
And of course, the latest and biggest and possibly not the best referendum that we had was and led to Brexit.
Absolutely. So again, a good example there of what a referendum is, giving people the option to have their say to decide. Good. So let's move to our final topic. So our final topic today is something very different. This time we're talking about remote work. Now, again, we're asking for a location, but this time we've got to narrow it down to a city. We're asking, which city do you think workers are saving a considerable amount of money, quite a lot of money each year, by working remotely? Now, do you have any idea which city we are talking about here?
So we're saying about $4,000, 4,000 euros a year. So that's saving a lot of money by working remotely. So we want to know, does anybody work remotely some of the time, all of the time, or do you think it's a good idea?
And are you saving money? I mean, these people in this particular city, they say they're saving money because they're not spending money on things like meals or shopping or entertainment. Because, you know, you go to your office, for example, you might buy food for lunch. On the way home, you might call by a shop, spend some money there. Maybe you go out to the cinema after work or something. So a lot of people spending money just because the nature of commuting and being in the office.
And I think that Erkan's making that point as well, because, of course, travel costs are really significant in big cities, especially in London. So one of the big issues for Londoners about remote working and why they don't want it to change, because lots of people are working part of the time from home, is commuting. Commuting can be miserable, horrible, horrible train journeys, and very, very expensive ones as well.
And also it's the time. I mean, when I lived in London, the time spent commuting was, I felt like it was such a wasted time, because it could easily add up to 3 hours a day if you were doing an hour and a half and you're just stuck on public transport.
And you're exhausted by the time you get to work. Yeah. You're from the stress. Youssef makes a great point there. Working remotely is great if you can handle your work results properly. Yes, sure. That's about, you know, having trust, I think, and that relationship with your employer.
And also, I think it's about having that self-discipline, isn't it? I mean, if you're working remotely, you know, you've got to motivate yourself, and you've got to, there's nobody looking over your shoulder and checking all the time what you're doing, where they, you know, it would be obvious in an office environment. So I think you do need that certain sense of self-discipline.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, in this same article, of course, you know, it's good news for the commuters who are saving all this money. However, what about for the restaurants, the retailers, the shops and other businesses that traditionally have been serving these people? Mm. What happens to their income, their revenue?
Well, the revenue, they're losing it. And the transport systems, I mean, you know, people aren't paying to use the transport system. There's not the money in it. But I think Larissa makes a good point. I mean, of course, you can't do it in every job, can you? It suits some jobs, remote working, but not every job is going to be able to take advantage of this.
No. So, Ali, you wouldn't be able to, would you? As if you're a pizza chef. Yeah, you can't. But I'm glad you don't smoke. That's a very smart move.
Also, I think the point, I mean, Amelia's saying that, yeah, OK, you can save money. But also, however, you have to heat your home all day, whereas you would not. You've got that cost, depending on where you live, obviously. And you've got to pay for internet connection. You need a high-speed internet connection, possibly. So there are going to be costs involved with being at home. And I think, you know, we can't ignore that. So I think that's a good point there, Amelia.
There's some, I saw some statistics about, you know, commuting in London. And people here said that at least 61% of Londoners would like to work at least one day from home. On the other side, most businesses would prefer to have their workers back in the office or in the companies.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Luis saying his company pays him some money, an extra money to help with the costs.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because are some companies trying to reduce the amount of money that they pay to their employees if they work from home? Because why should the employee save all the money and not the company?
Good point there. What do people think about that? Artur, again, location. Yeah, if you work remotely, you have the choice of where to live, don't you? You don't need to live in a city and pay high city rents.
Yeah, yeah, there are definitely, Larissa, yes, some disadvantages to working at home. And on the point, do we think people work as hard or harder if they work from home or in an office?
I think you work more effectively I do think that. I used to have a job many years ago, and in the summer months, the office decided that we could do half days on Friday. And everybody, we got the same amount of work done finishing at midday on a Friday as we would have done if we'd stayed till five, because everybody was motivated. We want to get the work finished. We want to leave at 12. Let's get it done. Whereas if you knew you had until five to do it, you take another coffee break.
A bit slow.
So I do think you do work, perhaps you work more effectively because you want to get the work done. And you manage your time.
Yeah, Louise makes a good point. They can reduce the office space and pay less rent. But again, it's causing some problems because we have so much building, so many offices that are now empty. What's going to happen to them?
And Larissa says, what about family and daily chores when you work at home?
Well, I think that's the best, isn't it? Because you can combine them. Mm. You don't have to wait until, you know, you come home after a long day, but you can combine different tasks during the day.
And just things like, for example, you need an electrician to come and fix something. If you're working in an office, you can't do it. You're working from home, you can arrange things. So I actually find it quite, I mean, I do half and half, but I do find having that balance of time when I'm at home, I actually find it's more effective, and it does balance the life things you have to do.
I think most people would like the hybrid, to have both. So you spend some time at home and sometimes in the office, because we can't forget what social animals we are. And it's really important for us to be together and spend time together.
Yes, it's difficult to separate them. And that is, I think that's a really important point, Larissa. If you are working from home, you need to, I think, perhaps if you're lucky enough to have an extra room that you can use as an office, so you can then close the door on it. Not everybody is. And then it becomes very difficult because you're always looking at your workspace and perhaps always thinking about work.
If you live in a small flat, you've got two children or a baby like Louise, who sometimes it can be difficult if your baby's crying a lot, then yes, it
or
can
animals,
be a challenge.
Says Amelia. Yeah. You've got to try and manage that when you're on a work call, for example, a conference call. You've got to try and make sure everything's quiet. It's not always easy, is it? Especially if you haven't got that extra space to create a home office.
But also another point in the UK, for example, because of this shift to remote working, it also means that a lot more money is being invested out of London, out of the capital, and in more regional areas. So it is, you know, having a positive impact for other regions of the country.
I like Simon's point that the workplace is important because you can be more productive. And I think that's very true in terms of problem solving, sharing ideas, brainstorming, being creative. If you're in an office environment, perhaps that's much more, it's easier to facilitate that, isn't it? Because you've got people to share ideas with, to help you solve issues. I think that is really important.
Yeah. And we also say, I mean, I don't know, do you say it, Stephanie, but instead of, you know, working remotely, I think we use the acronym, WFH, working from home.
We do.
You know, lots of people say, in a text, you would say, oh, I'm WFH today or something like that.
Absolutely. I think it's much more common. Perhaps working remotely is more an American term, maybe. I don't know. I think working from home is something I would be much more likely to say. I think that's a good point.
Yeah. Great. Shall we have a look?
Yes, I was just having a look. So Larissa's saying, yeah, we want to talk to other people, not only our partner and kids. I think that's very true. Have some other ideas there. So let's have a look then at which city. I think lots of you were guessing the correct city there. Of course, we're talking about New York. Now, remote work, they say, is saving New Yorkers on average 12.4 billion. That's not individually, that's collectively per year in spending.
And as you all know really well, remote work is the practice of an employee working at home from their home.
We talked about a commuter, also a verb, to commute. If you commute, you travel between your home and your place of work. So a commuter is somebody who travels to a workplace every day.
Yeah, and it can be a miserable experience as well, commuting. And then we also talked about revenue. So this is the income that a company, or we were talking about specifically about companies, that they receive from their customers. And that revenue is going down.
Absolutely. So three very different stories there. And as always, it's fantastic to hear what all of you think about these different topics. And thank you so much for sharing your views and your thoughts.
Indeed. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed it. We can't wait to see what we're going to be talking about next week.
We don't know, hopefully. Do we? But it'll be same time, same place. We'll be here. We'll be live. And we really hope you can join us then. Have a good evening, everybody.
Okay. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Join us next week for the latest news talk. And if you'd like to participate in the live sessions, simply create your account at perfectlyspoken.com.